Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show, and we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. But because we come to you on a variety of outlets, including digital, we'd ask you to share this information. We have a short amount of time to wake up the maximum number of people to offset some of the obvious disadvantages we got going into the election. And I think there's no more important issue right now. Well, the economy, one and two, right? Or two and one, depending on your view, the economy and the border. And the border is a huge national security concern. And we've got a great guest on to talk about it, J.J. Correll, former deputy patrol agent for 26 years, I believe it was. And he's now retired and he's produced a couple of documentaries. We're going to talk about that. And we're going to get into some of the critical issues. And I'm really glad that we're going to get this out in a lot of our venues today and the rest tomorrow. And the reason I say that is because there's a debate tonight. And I know that this is going to be a primary issue, as much as the moderators let it. Hey, we are coming to you live from the Noble Gold Studios. And as you know, I've been an advertiser for 8 years. I've been a customer for seven. So the FTC wants me to tell you that any investment carries an inherent risk and past performance can't be construed with future expectation. And we give that warning in good faith. But my longevity with the company speaks to what I think of them. And let me tell you, the Dodd-Frank Law of 2010 says they can take your money. You're an unsecured creditor when you put it in the bank. That includes your retirement. Noble Gold can fix all that for you. They have options for diversification where you'll never lose your money to the bank, like my mom's side of the family did in the 1929 Depression when she was a little child. I don't want that to happen to you. So I'm going to give you a place to go, and I'll send you a free information packet, and you can review everything they do. And if you have a nest egg to protect of any size, you've got to look at this. And then if you say, okay, Dave's right, I got to do what he's doing, there's a number on there for you to call. Go to DaveHodgesGold.com. That's DaveHodgesGold.com. Excuse me, it's allergy season. JJ has been a guest on our show before, and I don't think there's a more timely period in our history that we have him on. We're at the third turning right now of America. Revolution, World War II, Depression, and today, and the border is right there at the top. JJ, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me back. I'm looking forward to this conversation, even though it gets dark sometimes. We need to discuss it openly and boldly of what's going on.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I'm seeing, the election's going to play heavily, and then I want to go down the path you want. But I've reviewed this Summit of the Future Pact that we've agreed to in principle, and it's not actionable yet. But basically, they say in there, there's no room for xenophobia. In effect, with this agreement that we signed on to with the United Nations is saying there's no borders and you can't enforce borders. And it's xenophobic to do so. And we're already seeing the catastrophic effects. I grew up in Aurora, Colorado, JJ.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I got people on the ground there, family and friends that are telling me we're not getting the real story in the media. It's much worse than we're being told.
Of course it is. They don't want you to know the real story. The real story is that our small towns and mid-sized cities are going to be devastated. They are being devastated. We just haven't heard about it, right? You haven't heard about it enough. You've heard about Springfield, Ohio, Whitewater, Wisconsin, Aurora. Now you're seeing in El Paso, they just raided, I think, one or two hotels or apartment complexes where the cartels took over and were running them. And you're just hearing what the media wants you to hear. Like, let's take Aurora, Colorado. That's a great example. For when the city councilwoman came out, I forget her name, she said, we have a problem with the Venezuelan gangs that are taking over apartment complexes. Immediately, the chief of police and the mayor, who are always tied at the hip, came out and said, oh, she's crazy. She's a nut job. And the governor even said the same thing. Oh, she's so right winger. 3 days later, the mayor comes out and goes, well, yeah, it's not one hotel, it's three or maybe four. So that's what they're telling you. So that is, you think, let's just put it this way. A major prison gang from Venezuela takes over three or four apartment complexes. Do they stop there? Are you that naive that you would think that they're a business? Why would they not continue to conquer where there's no pushback? And why is there no pushback? Because there are thousands of Venezuelan gang members and illegal aliens in Aurora. There are only 748 police officers in the whole city. Now you tell me how they're going to fare against those third world savages that are going to use machetes and everything else, long arms, to control Aurora. We lost. Aurora's going to die.
You know, JJ, and it's a town, it's a city of 400,000 people, and yeah, it's adjacent to Denver. It's like a contiguous relationship. But One of the things I saw in one of the videos where these gangsters were prying open a door in a private residence, one of the people in the scene, one of the gangsters, had a sniper rifle with a scope. Did you see that?
They did. They're very heavily armed. They're not coming over to America to ask you kindly. They're going to take it. They're not idiots. They've done their research. Aurora, Colorado. They're going to pour us into a fully white community in outside of Denver that has 748 police officers. Why do you think they chose that? Because it's a crimeless place, meaning there's no gangs, there's no nothing. You have 750 cops for a city of 400,000. They should have 3,000 to 4,000 police officers for in Aurora. They have no crime, so it was ripe for the picking. And we as Americans, we become fat, lazy, and impotent and cowardly, and we're allowing them to do it. I mean, look at Springfield, Ohio. Springfield, Ohio, the grave diggers are throwing dirt on the casket of Springfield, Ohio. That little town is dead. It's dead. They just don't know it yet.
Yeah, I totally agree. And those people are going nowhere. I'm getting reports out of Springfield that there actually is child sex trafficking going on there. Do you know that to be true or not?
Of course there is. You can't have 1/3 of your population is illegal aliens from a foreign nation that don't speak your language. And there's not going to be a tidal wave of crime, of every type of crime, rapes, murders, kidnapping, child sex trafficking. Everything is encompassed in this giant tidal wave of the invasion into America.
Yeah, I agree. One thing I found in Aurora that's not anywhere else that I've seen, and just asking if you're aware of this, I saw a TikTok video, and then I talked to an individual who witnessed this, who I've known for a long, long time, back when I lived there. They are doing like military organization stuff in the nearby Target parking lot near Colfax Avenue, which is a major thoroughfare, and it's not far from those apartments in question. And what I'm told they're doing is they're forcing Latino illegal immigrants into these gangs. It's by force, and then they take them to this Target at night, about 9 o'clock at night, and they organize them into what my friend said. And he fought in Gulf War with three tours in the Gulf. He said it looks like a staging area where they're organizing squads to go into battle, and there were arms there and no cops in sight. And he said, we were going to go in and go shopping. I saw that. We got out of there as quickly as we could. Are you aware of activities like that going on in Aurora?
I am not. However, I do know for whatever reason they have chosen that Target parking lot you're talking about to do their protests, their rallies, their
Yeah.
get-togethers. And your friend is right. There are no police officers around. Why would you? I was in law enforcement 24 years. I know I did the scheduling as a supervisor. So let me tell your audience what it looks like to have a department of 750 officers. You're looking at days off. Annual leave, sick leave, training, court, just the random scheduling. You're looking at the maximum, if they run two shifts a day or three, about 100 officers. I'm talking about the best day possible, 100 officers. 100 officers are going to go and engage 1,000 armed gang members. Are you insane? Of course, they're not going to do it. They are going to do what Europe has done and what America has done throughout our country is to be able to allow these no-go zones where you're like, okay, we're going to abdicate this. We're just doing this as a practical matter. We're going to abdicate this area to them, and they
Well,
win.
I will tell you this, and I support law enforcement, so I do not say this lightly, but the Aurora Police Department at the leadership level, and I'm not talking the street cop. I mean, it takes guts and intelligence to do what they do, but at the administrative level, they've been compromised for a long time. And I'll give you a real quick example. In a parking lot that they call the Aurora Mall, which is right off Interstate 225, it's about a mile from where I grew up. There's a big movie theater there, been there dozens of times, and then there's a shopping mall. And in the shopping mall, at the time of the Batman shooting in 2012, they had a substation there. And then they had a major substation about three quarters of a mile away. That person, that assassin, went into two different movie theaters and took all those lives. And the event was going on for about 15 to 18 minutes, according to the reports I've seen. And all these officers had to do was to run across the parking lot. Okay, a distance of not more than about 60 or 70 yards and enter the theater, or at least surround the theater. They didn't show up for close to 45 minutes. I mean, their conduct there was inexcusable, and they were almost like in stand down mode. And like I said, I support the police, but what I'm telling you is unmistakable. The people in Aurora know this story.
Yeah, and I think it's very important to talk about this when you begin to speak about law enforcement as well as military. Understand that not every person that is in law enforcement military is courageous, or they get their hands dirty, or have been in battle. That's a fallacy. Now I'm not discounting their work, but I'm telling you there is that rule, right? The 80-10-10 rule, or the 80-20 rule. 20% does every of the manpower does everything. 80% either complains or does some kind of administrative work. That's the truth. We can have this more in-depth conversation, but to assume that every law enforcement officer is going to go running into a hail of bullets is a lie. It's just not going to happen.
No, I hear
So
you.
when yeah, so you just have a small percentage. So you have less than probably a half a percent that in American population can do the job of a police officer. And then of that small percentage is even a smaller percentage of the guys that actually do the job.
Well, but our problem in Aurora was the fact that there wasn't a response. I know you might have to do containment first to assess the danger,
Right.
like they did at Columbine High School, which, by the way, that's where I did my student teaching before I taught for a while.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, pretty interesting times. But the one thing is, I understand if you have to exercise, officer safety and so forth, but there was just a lack of response. And that just was inexcusable. And that's what I'm saying. Aurora is compromised, and the mayor is flip-flopping more than a pancake on a griddle. And I look at it, and the lady you were talking about, the city councilwoman, is Danelle Jarinski. And you're right, she's been called a nutcase. She has a vivid imagination. That was the words of the governor. And it's a real issue. Let me share this with you about Chicago. I played on my social media 2 911 tapes from Chicago. And these officers were given a choice to go clean out TDA, which there were about 30 reported TDA members in an apartment building in the hallway wreaking havoc, or they could go to a secondary call and they list their address. I would have done the same thing as these cops. There's two of us and there's 30 of them. We're going to go answer the other call. They have a right to go home to their families too. And what you're saying here, I agree. We're not prepared. Even if this didn't go further, we can't respond law enforcement wise to the threat that's coming across our country.
No, because there's millions of them. And I didn't stutter. I'm not using hyperbole. There are millions of gang members inside America, foreign illegal alien gang members. We do not have the resources in our state and local governments because our state and local law enforcement does not deal with this. We don't deal with savages on this type. We are a nation that is enlightened, if you will, and is ahead of its time. But the world, America needs to understand that the world does not look like America. This is an anomaly. This gangs and savages run the countries of these third world nations that we've allowed into our country. And when you take their alpha males that they've allowed into our country by the millions, and then you look at our military age men, 77% of our military age men can't join our military. Why? Because they're obese, drug addicts, or have some physical or emotional ailment. And then 50% of that 77% have more than one of those ailments. Now, how does this play out in America when you have 77% of our population can't walk and chew gum at the same time, but you have allowed in the equal amount of those men that are all alpha males from war-torn nations across the globe? It does not fare well at all.
I couldn't agree with you more. When we look at other situations, we had talked about Gil Mazza, who I think a distinguished guy, a great speaker and really knowledgeable, brave are the things I think about him. We talked about Chinese nationals coming into the country. And I know it's hard to give an estimate because they're just coming in. But let me tell you what I saw in pictures, and those are on my website. Chinese, all military age men, some of them are standing at parade at rest with their hands clasped behind their back. They put their backpacks or whatever they're carrying down next to their right foot. I mean, this is so military, it's unmistakable. I grew up on military bases. I've seen it all my life. And These guys are handing papers to Border Patrol. When does an illegal alien hand a paper to the Border Patrol? What kind of papers are they looking at? Do you have any idea?
Well, they'll probably have that's their paper ID, something they told to give the Border Patrol. You're looking at tens of thousands of PLA soldiers have come across our border. The United States Border Patrol is acknowledging that they have arrested over 200,000 Chinese nationals. When you understand China, you don't leave China. It's not America where I just like, hey, I want to go to X, Y, and Z, and I just grab a ticket and I go. No, it's not how it works in China. You just don't leave. So 200,000 Chinese nationals. I'm telling you, tens of thousands of them are soldiers. I see the same videos as you do. I get the same stuff. I get probably more from my colleagues down on the border, and they send me pictures. They go, look at this guy. Look at these guys. Same haircuts, same clothes. They stand the same way, same tattoos, same IDs. What group of men share those characteristics in America? Those are called soldiers. So we have allowed. I don't know how much. I could spend hours and hours and hours talking to you about the vulnerability of America, but I want your audience to understand that America has never been this vulnerable, ever,
Agree.
ever. And they have done this. They being the left and the Republicans have funded it. They being the crazy left is fundamentally transforming America. America has no idea what is waiting for her down in the future. The very, very near future is going to be societal chaos and violence that you can't even imagine.
Well, I know we have Hamas, Hezbollah, ISIS, MS-13, and so forth. And I'm sure there's going to be like a night of the broken glass or, some kind of like Tet Offensive where we have multiple terrorist events at one time. I think that's inevitable. I've been writing about that for a dozen years. But I'm wondering about the purpose of the Chinese being here. Do you have any speculation or what do your Border Patrol colleagues tell you?
Well, I think that the speculation is very obvious. If you were the enemy of the United States of America, you know that even with our brain dead people that are running our country, even with our generals being the way they are with DEI, right? Even with all of that handcuffing us, no one can come straight on to our military because at the best that our adversary could hope for is a stalemate. And a stalemate would be destruction of both nations, right? Because we'd send out nuclear wars.
Sure.
Warheads. So how do you beat the great Satan? How do you do it? Well, they're allowing us to walk in to their nation. Why would the leaders of China not say, wait a minute, why don't we move our army into America? Those morons in America are actually going to shelter, educate, feed, medicate our soldiers. We don't even have to get supply lines. We don't have to do anything. All we have to do is walk in, and they're going to let us walk in. They're going to give us apartments. They're going to give us housing. They're going to give us food. They're going to medicate and take care of our soldiers. Let's do that. And then we'll call them up for action when we're ready. Of course, that's what they're doing. Of course. And everyone in the intelligence and the immigration world knows this is happening. This is not a Trojan horse. We're watching our federal government become the enemy of the people. And if you do not believe that we live in a quasi-democracy slash tyranny, you are an absolute fool. And if we do not win, meaning we don't get President Trump in, people like me and you and people that are outspoken, you need to really, really be prepared. Be prepared to be arrested. Be prepared to be slandered. Be prepared to have all the judicial system rail against you. I believe that completely to the depths of my soul.
Yeah, well, John Kerry came out yesterday and said the First Amendment needs to be, quote, overthrown. It's an impediment to climate change. And then combine that with DHS speech regulations now, where they classify mis and disinformation, what that is. But the concerning thing is malinformation. What you're saying might be right, but if you undermine confidence in government or business, then you're a domestic terrorist. And that's in DHS protocols. I have a broadcast partner we do a weekly show with who just left DHS a little over a year ago. And he said, yeah, this is absolutely valid. They're setting the stage for arresting you for what you say publicly.
No, that's true. I interviewed a gentleman that's a FBI whistleblower, and they actually just kind of, the Whistleblower Act is worthless. It's not even worth the paper
No,
it's
it's
written
not.
on. And they squeezed him out and fired. And he said the same thing you did. He said they broadened the definition of domestic terrorism to include everyone. And then when they do that, they can remove your constitutional rights. You don't get to see a judge. You're a traitor. You're a flight risk. You're everything. So we're just going to hold you in jail. And then we're going to try to make you take a plea deal. And then if not, then we'll just have you rot in those prisons for as long as we need you to. That is happening. That's not, we're not waiting for it to happen. It is happening right now in America. And I just don't think America's ready. I just still don't think America has an understanding or is ready to actually digest that our country is not the greatest country on planet Earth. It's a fallen, declining nation. And if you don't agree with me on that, then I want someone to come and tell me, name me one segment of our society that is ascending, that is not descending and declining. And you can't. You can't. It's all crumbling around us, and the people that are vigilant are seeing it and seeing the telltale signs of a decline.
It's just mind-numbing what we're observing here. When I look at intent, and I know I'm stepping out on a slippery slope here when I say this, but I see a clear pattern of Maoist cultural revolution, you know, cutting kids' genitals off and all the things mm-hmm. we're doing upside down in our society and our schools. And then on the other hand, I'm seeing it blatantly calling for the abolition of much of the Constitution, if not all of it, and then lawfare against Trump, weaponization of the DOJ against school board protesters. I mean, we're looking at Stalinistic practices, Bolshevik communism. How do they get, in your opinion, so many people in government to go along with this?
I interviewed someone the other day, and they were absolutely right. Is they get you hooked in to your pension, to what you need, and now you become complicit in it. Meaning, okay, I have 3 more years, and I'm just going to ride out 3 more years because nothing can be done. No one's going to change this. And to a point, those individuals have a logical. Yeah. Explanation. No, nothing is going to change, because when you see and you understand how big the problem is, like that was the hardest thing for me to actually digest, is when I came out in April and began filming for my 2 documentaries, I was shocked at the level of corruption. I was shocked at how deep the treason ran and how broad it was and how well funded it was. It was, I remember my first time flying home from my first weekend of filming in San Diego, and I was literally kind of really dismayed flying home. And I was thinking, dear God, I'm railing against these people in America that don't know what's going on. And here I am, 24 years. I wrote a book, took me a year to research. I'm fully invested in this. And I didn't even know. I didn't even know the depths of this. Dear God, what? And then, you know, if you're a critical thinking person, the first thing you need to ask yourself is, what else do you not know? What else have you not been able to sift through and come out with some kind of logical explanation? And the answer is, there's so much that we don't know that's happening. But you can look around and you can see, as you said, you're looking at the telltale signs of a Marxist revolution. You're seeing the America be destroyed. You look at John Kerry. I mean, the guy literally has no personality, and he is dictating change in America. I saw the same interview. We need to abolish the First Amendment. We need to crush it. What are you talking about, man? Everything in America is based off of that. The First Amendment to be able to speak as we want, and then a Second Amendment to defend ourselves against a tyrannical government. And what does the left want to do? They want to destroy the First and Second Amendment, because once they do that, the house, then it becomes a house of cards. It just falls on itself.
But I'm just shocked how low it's gone. And here's what I mean by low. You got mayors on board, and I mm-hmm. think they get them through these mayoral organizations that they go to these meetings at. But you have school boards, you have city councils, you have city managers, and the majority of them are on board with this crap. You know, largely we call it Agenda 2030. Soon it'll be the UN Pact of the Summit, what they'll be calling it. But there's so much cohesion now with the leaders. And it's interesting, JJ, because I would say right now still 75-80% of the country is on the side of the Constitution, rule of law, and so forth and so on, and they want the status quo that they grew up with. but we've got leaders that are diametrically opposed to the people. Something's got to give.
Something does have to give. And I look, I wished my prayer is Trump wins and then the left just kind of slinks back and they just take their beating and try to regroup. That's not going to happen.
No,
you
it's
know
not.
That's not, you know, no, they've come this far. This is, and they are on the inch line. Take a football analogy. They are on the inch line, and all they have to do is get one more inch into the goal line and they win the Super Bowl. Why would they quit and then allow you to march all the way down the field and score again and put them out of the game? They're not going to do that. So my point is this. It does not matter if Trump wins or Kamala wins. There's going to be civil chaos, and there's going to be blood on the street. I don't see any other way. I just don't, unless I'm completely wrong, and I do not think I am. The left is emboldened. When they win, they're going to march and they're going to do atrocities to the rest of America to bend a knee, because there is now no one to help us and they know it. And then if Trump wins, they're emboldened because they've already burnt our cities to the ground and nobody went to jail. So you think those petulant kids and those savages are going to come to Jesus moments? No, they're going to say, you know what? Why don't we push the envelope? These people are weak. They'll never do what needs to be done to curtail our criminal activity. And they will.
Yeah, but I don't think it's going to be Antifa as much. It's going to be Hamas, Hezbollah, ISIS, MS-13, and the Chinese. There's a scenario out there. I've had a discussion actually with a couple of really high-level military, both retired now, one recently. And here's what they're concerned about, that if Trump was winning, or if they assassinate Trump and J.D. Vance wins, and I think he could, if somehow Kamala doesn't get in, that they're going to unleash these terrorists on every city, and then they're going to use the Chinese as a UN peacekeeping force to occupy us. Have you had any discussions with anybody that you could talk about, your liberty to talk about, with regard to that scenario?
Not that particular scenario, but everyone that I speak to believes that there will be massive terrorist events in America.
Yes.
They just know what's going to happen. And then what happens when that takes place? I don't know. I have a friend that is a former military analyst, and I would call him an expert on China. And I asked him, what do you think is going to happen with all these Chinese soldiers in here? And he says, you're looking at it from the old military mindset of, I'm going to get my battalion against yours, and then we're going to fight. He goes, no, what's going to happen is you're going to have a sergeant and about six or seven officers, soldiers, excuse me, and they're going to be segmented, and they have no idea who else is here, what other people have. They're going to have a specific target. They're going to have a way to get their munitions and weapons. And then they're going to have a go time, and no one's going to know, just them. And there he goes, then you have thousands of these small groups. Do you know what that would do to America? Let's just say 100. Let's say 100 Chinese soldiers and or terrorists, just 100 groups, simultaneously within 3 days, go blow up certain places across America, small town, big town, big cities, and or come in. And I say, okay, give me a scenario, what you think a PLA soldier group would do. He goes, okay, they go into JFK Airport or LaGuardia at 8 a.m. when it's really, really packed. And we all have our guns, our long arms, M4s, and we go in and we just kill everyone in sight. We just unload 1,000 people dead. And then we escape, because we're not killing ourselves. We're soldiers. He said, what would that one thing do? One. And then an hour later, another one happens in D.C., and then another in Montana, and then another one in Portland, Oregon, and then in Los Angeles. What happens to America? America shuts down. America is already, we closed our whole world down on some virus they came up with in China. What will happen if Chinese or terrorists are blowing up and killing Americans indiscriminately across America? We are a weak nation. We are a weak nation. We will crumble. We will hide until a very, very small percentage of American men, which is about 3 to 5%, will rise up and will take care of business. You cannot trust your government. Your government is impotent. They're complicit. You cannot trust law enforcement. Listen, law enforcement, state, local, and federal, 660,000 officers, 660,000 for 350 million people. And when you strip away the East Coast and the West Coast big cities where they have, you know, 30, 40,000 police officers in New York, and LA has 15,000. Once you start stripping away those major cities, there's no one left to patrol and help in the small towns and mid-sized cities across America. So you are at an incredible disadvantage because your government allowed the enemy to walk into our nation, and then we fund their lives. They're laughing at us. They can't. I absolutely believe that Putin, Xi, and every mullah across the Middle East and Venezuela, Maduro, are. They can't believe what they're allowed to do to America. I bet you they feel at first, I think this is a trap. No government would do this to their own people. They're setting us up. And when they realize, no, they hate their people and their government and their nation so much, they want us to destroy it. Okay, we'll destroy it. I believe that.
I think there's cooperation, though, at our leadership level with this. I think those leaders know about the cooperation. I'll give you an example. The Biden family in China. Okay. I don't think I have to go any farther than that to say, if we don't think that these discussions haven't happened at some level, I think we're being naive, because Biden family's been enriched by tens of millions of dollars, and it's provable, but they're not touchable.
Right.
And I think the real people that matter are people in the know. There's a guy, and I probably should interview him. His name's Greg Stenstrom, former Naval Intelligence, wrote a 70-page document online. It's called The Council. And he details household names that you should know that are in the deep state. And of course, he acknowledges there's a lot behind the scenes that we don't know. And a lot of these people have been attorney generals, like Bill Barr is prominently mentioned in this. Okay. And so I think that we've been sold out by our leaders. It reminds me of this movie in the 80s. It was called America with a K. And the president of America basically gave away the country to the Russians. And effectively, that's what I see us doing right now. I think we're giving money to NGOs, laundering money to NGOs. Mm-hmm. And that border bill that Kamala talks about that Trump killed, which he couldn't have, but that she said, I would have had this bill passed and approved. We'd have a secure border. That was an amnesty bill, but it mm-hmm. also made the laundering of money to the NGOs to bring people here. It made that practice legal.
Of course. And when you look at Biden and you look at how corrupt our leaders are, you have to have lieutenants, meaning people that are going to carry out your nefarious acts. And that person is Alejandro Mayorkas, and you, the Secretary of DHS. Look at what this man has done. He's a traitor, and these are traitors that run our government. And you say, well, that's a big word. Okay, well, let me throw some evidence at you. In 4 years, Alejandro Mayorkas will have facilitated the entrance of 30 million illegal aliens into America. He built safe mobility offices called SMOs, which I know is Orwellian. They're regional processing centers in four of the five major nations in Central and South America to facilitate the movement of illegal aliens into America. He has gone into foreign nations and flown, loaded up planes and flown illegal aliens into international airports across America in the dark of night. He has admitted to over a million of those, and it's illegal, and they did not count them in any data categories. Why would your federal government do that? Now, if you don't think it's treason, you don't think that they're traitors, then I want you to really ask a simple question. What the hell's going on then? Why would our government allow this? Why? And no one has an answer, because the answer is that our federal government is the enemy of our people.
That's true.
It is. There's no way around it.
That's true. You know, one thing I left on the table earlier when we were talking about the criminalization of free speech by DHS documents, you know, there's another element to this too. No one brings this up. It's the NDAA. If you're declared a domestic terrorist, you fall under enemy combatant status. Mm-hmm. They can just snatch you off the street. There's no due process.
Well, that's what they're using with January 6th, right? They're using the same thing.
Yeah.
So you got guys in there that have not seen a judge, or and what they do is, you can't see a judge, you can't get bailed out, you can't do anything. Here's a plea bargain. No, I'm not taking a plea bargain. Okay, then we'll just wait you out. I mean, but ultimately, you have to ask a question. We know that they're innocent. those men are in there. It's already been proven. It was set up. There was feds and CIA was actually involved. CIA, right. It's forbidden to do anything on our soil. And where are the Republicans? Where are they? They're gutless. They're compromised. Speaker Johnson's compromised. He's absolutely compromised. There, and I think that's where the real rub comes, Dave. I really do, because I believe America feels that they are not being represented. I know I'm not. I have no one up there that's representing me. No one. I can maybe Marjorie Taylor Greene, Harriet Hagerman, I think from Wyoming, who's awesome. Maybe Chip Roy. Maybe one or two other people.
Jim Jordan. What do you think?
No. I'll push back on you on that, because tell me one thing he's done.
Well, he does make a lot of noise in the right direction, but doing and saying are two different things. I grant you that.
Well, I interviewed three people that were whistleblowers, FBI, that he brought up like a show toys, like show ponies, and he did nothing, nothing for them. They came up and whistle blew under the Whistle Protection Act, and he allowed them to get destroyed. Now, Jim Jordan, to me, is to me, and I could be wrong, but I'm just telling you what I see. And I used to like him, just like I used to like Trey Gowdy and men like that. And then I started to realize, okay, hold on. I'm seeing these guys on TV all the time, and they're all complaining about the same damn thing. There's congressmen. They're allowed to present bills. What are they doing? Nothing. Name one thing Trey Gowdy did in his time, besides be on Fox News and change his hairstyle every other day. Nothing. Quickly, tell me one thing that Jim Jordan has done. Jim Jordan is the ranking member of Congress that is has oversight of Joe Biden's impeachment and his corruption, and has done nothing. You and I have enough information and evidence to convict Joe Biden right now, and we don't have access to all the other stuff that Jim Jordan does. Why is he not being impeached? Why? Don't tell me we don't have the numbers. Don't tell me. How about you just present all the evidence? You have a giant hearing and you present all the crimes of Joe Biden, which we know you know. Well, why isn't he? Why was his partner in that same thing, McCall? McCall's worth hundreds of millions of dollars. How did he get those hundreds of millions of dollars? I think his net worth grew by tens of billions of dollars just last year. Tens of millions of dollars. How are our congressmen going in on a $170,000 a year salary? Do not create widgets or apps or books or anything and come out worth tens of millions of dollars. How is that possible?
Insider trading, for one.
Correct. And they're being paid off and they're all corrupt. And why nothing gets done is because everyone knows their incestuous behaviors. Every last one of them knows.
Let me tell you what I've learned. I live in Arizona, so let me tell you what I've learned about the Arizona legislature. And I say this openly and freely, and some of it's supported by the work of John Thaler, a 30-year RICO investigator who wrote a book with 20,000 affidavits and 5,000 references. About a third of our legislature currently, and it's Republican dominant by one or two votes in both houses, they're on the take from Sinaloa, mm-hmm. money laundering, from fake real estate deals.
Yep.
Another third of them support the first third, and they're waiting their turn in line. Mm-hmm. And this corruption spreads to our attorney general. It's not just stolen elections. It spreads to Katie Hobbs, the governor, and she's already taken a $400,000 bribe since she ran for governor. And it's public. It was in the media, and the attorney general is now covering it up. And then you got Adrian Fontes, he's the secretary of state. He defends cartel members, but interesting, people don't know this. A lot of them don't. He defended the cartel members who murdered Agent Brian Terry of the Border mm-hmm. Patrol. And he's our Secretary of State. I mean, this is how bad it is. So I'm going to lead this to a question. You said when you came back from San Diego that you were sort of, my words, overwhelmed by what you were learning. What are the worst things that you learned that you can talk about?
The worst things that I learned was I saw the complete capitulation of the United States Border Patrol. I talked to guys that I used to work for that are highly intelligent, highly motivated, and they are telling me we feel numb. I've never heard that word used in law enforcement. We feel numb, meaning we have been lied to, manipulated, called so many vile names that we are numb to it, and now we just come to work and do our job and leave. That's it. We don't care anymore. This is what America seems to want. Then they're going to get it. I'm not going to lose my pension, my way of life for you, America. I'm not going to do it. I'm not. The second thing that I saw that was so shocking was the enormity, the size of and scope of what the federal government was able to create with the partnerships with the NGOs. And they are actively destroying America at an unprecedented rate that I did not believe could exist. And the third thing was, is I could not, I knew when I was doing my documentary that I would touch on human suffering, human trafficking. I had no idea, even after 24 years in the Border Patrol, the level of child sex trafficking. I had no idea the level of evil the United States of America is finding itself in. We are looking at 500,000 children have been arrested and released, and we have no idea where any of them are. None.
Well, that's higher than the number I had. I had 350,000, but, you know, it's just, wow, I just can't believe it. But let me tell you what I'm hearing behind the scenes, and this is a good question, I think, to ask you. With regard to Diddy, I'm hearing now there's links to Obama's and Kamala Harris. Do you know anything about that? I mean, we know Diddy's into sex trafficking.
Right. I think that all of this is tied together from me. Let me take a step back so you understand where my perspective is coming from.
Sure.
I'm looking at segments of our society, mainly media, entertainment, and the politicians, and corporate media, and corporate leaders as well. And I asked this question to majority of everyone that I interviewed on child sex trafficking for my documentary Trafficked, about the children. And I asked them, what I believe is that there is a pedophilia thread that runs through every part of our society at the highest levels. And these people that are living this world of child sex trafficking and pedophilia is telling me you're 100% correct. Mm-hmm. In fact, I have in my documentary where I asked one or two of these people directly, are there congressmen and senators that are compromised because they're pedophiles? And they don't even hesitate. They just, yes. Yes, absolutely. And there's presidents with an S and vice presidents with an S. So when you begin to understand the level of this sickness in our country, that they'll be easy to understand that it is permeating through America. So you look at Epstein, you look at P. Diddy. Why was P. Diddy an FBI asset? Why was Jeffrey Epstein, by all leads to CIA intel operative? What are they peddling? They're peddling underage children sex. And why? Because that's the last taboo. That is what you can hold over an individual's head and make them do anything and everything you want. And they tell me, the people that are in the know say, not every politician is a pedophile, but all the politicians know who the pedophiles are. And because they remain silent, they become complicit. And when they're complicit, now they can be blackmailed.
Never thought of it that way in terms of the back end. The other third I didn't mention with the Arizona legislature are the third that know about it, but they're too chicken bleeper to do anything about it. And I'll give you an example. There's a legislator, and I'm not going to get personal, but our moms were best friends in Colorado. So this is someone that's known to me. And after an attempted murder against someone standing up to corruption within state government with the cartel, and this person was friends with the victim, I said, you need to come on my show. We'll expose it. You would have think I would have asked her to jump off Niagara Falls.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm not joking when I say that. And our communication went cold because of that request. And so I totally agree with what you just characterized. I've seen it firsthand. Mm-hmm. The trafficking, I look at here, it's so voluminous. The corruption's so voluminous. If Trump were to get elected, is there anything? See, I've said this. Trump getting elected only gives us a foothold to which to launch the fight from. It doesn't really mm-hmm. solve anything. Is there anything he can do to turn this around? Because I think we have stage 4 cancer.
You said it just as well as I have, and I've been saying that. I believe we are stage 4 cancer and it's spread across the body of America, and there is no easy way out of this, none. And I also agree that Trump is not the answer. Trump is the foothold for us to rise up and fight as a nation. Now, what can he do? The very first thing that he needs to do is he needs to arrest all the traitors, all of them at once, not this slow bleeding process, because they are going to turn on him and America. He needs executive order immediately right out of the box. All NGOs, all federal aid to NGOs stops immediately, just ends. And then he puts a moratorium on all legal and illegal immigration. The whole border is closed down, military on the border. And then he just says, illegal aliens, there's 50 million of you in our country. You have 7 days, 10 days, 30 days to leave. Get out. We're not helping you. You are getting out. If we find you after that, whatever that moratorium is, you will be forever forbidden to come into America. You will never receive one piece of relief to come into America. You said it right. People might say, well, that's harsh. When you have stage four cancer, do you patty cake around? Or is it, if we're going to try to stop this, it is all hands on deck and we are going to attack it. You're not going to half-ass it, are you? Same thing with this. We have stage four cancer, meaning 50 million illegal aliens are in our country. You are going to have to endure immense amount of pain to get us safe again. And I believe that there will be immense amount of pain in America.
Is this a military operation, and will the military support Trump?
I don't know if the military is where I think, where I really believe where the biggest bang is going to be is your sheriffs. Your sheriffs have the ability. They have the largest geographic area of responsibility in law enforcement. They have the ability to deputize anyone they want. And then you just go, because you're going to need 660,000 law enforcement officers trying to get 50 million people. Come on. You're going to need to deputize all of your former military and law enforcement personnel, and you're going to have to enforce an e-verify. You already have in May 2025, everyone's going to have a real ID. So it's there. Everything's in place. And I don't want to hear about the federal government's going to watch us. They're already watching us. Your idea that you live, that you can go off the grid, that's a fantasy. It's an absolute fantasy. So why not take that technology and use it for what we need right now? We can eradicate it later, but right now it's being thrust upon us with real ID. I can't get on an airplane. I'm not going to be able to get mortgages. I'm not going to get anything without my real ID. The only people that do not need a real ID are illegal aliens, because they can get on planes with pieces of paper. Literally, that piece of torn out notebook paper that you have with a name on it would be what an illegal alien gets on a plane. It's what illegal aliens are using to get mortgages and funded by state taxpayers, which is backed by federal government. We're looking at right now the most vulnerable we've ever been in America, because we have an election coming up in what, two months? Yeah, not even 2 months. And then you have millions of illegal aliens registered to vote, meaning millions of mail-in ballots are floating around America right now in shelters and in hotels with NGOs that are funded by tens of billions of dollars by the Democrat federal government and the Republicans. And who do you think they're going to fill those ballots out for? You think they're going to fill them out for Kamala Harris and her group, or Donald Trump, who's going to shut them down? Obviously, we're looking at tens of millions of votes going to Kamala Harris. I don't know how Trump wins. I don't even know. I honestly will be honest. I don't even know how he's going to make it to election day without being killed.
Well, that I agree with. As far as the election goes, you know, I got a Space Force source, and I'm going to be very broad, and it matches what Martin Armstrong, the economist, is saying. And then I've got someone whose job in the government is to monitor real election numbers. And I've been given those numbers going back to 2020. And so is Paul Preston. The one thing I can say right now, at minimum, it's Trump 80, it's Harris 20. That's minimum. Martin Armstrong says it's 90-10. Mm-hmm. A military source who watches this says she has a 8 to 12% approval rating. That's his expression. I don't know if they can cheat enough to swing this election. And see, I think they think that too, because if they did think they could win, they wouldn't still be trying to kill him.
Yeah, I think that there'll be multiple attempts. You just saw surface-to-air missiles.
I heard that.
Yeah, so that, and then to assume that those are the only surface-to-air missiles that are here, right? Come on. And I've been saying that. I think they have the. I think they're going to try to shoot him or blow him up in like a car bomb or something walking by. There's already been explosive found. And then the last thing will be is to blow him out of the sky in his plane. That's it. And you say, well, that's crazy. Really?
No,
Is
it's
it
not.
really that crazy? No, it's not. And I think this is where I think bloodshed comes. They are going to have to cheat at such a level, as you said, for Kamala Harris, that they are going to make, they're going to get sloppy and they're going to make a mistake. And you are going to see, instead of 90 or the average of 65% voting rate of eligible voters, you're going to see us surpass 100%, meaning they're going to count more votes than there are actual voters. And it's going to be so obvious. And they're going to be so emboldened. They're going to tell us the same thing when they told us that Joe Biden won. He won, deal with it. And I don't think America will deal with it very well this time.
Not this time around. I totally agree. It's just like another lockdown for COVID. It would be a completely different result. I totally agree with you. By the way, just for rumor, but I think it's true, I'm hearing Eric Holder is being brought in as a point man to manage a $265 million fund to challenge the election when Trump wins. And they're just going to tie it up in the courts as long as they can. And this is from pretty good authority. JJ, I want to give my audience an opportunity to follow your really good work. So can you tell people about your documentaries and how they can watch them?
Yes, thank you very much. You can go to thisistreason.com, thisistreason.com, and for $9.99, you can get two documentaries. How did we get to two documentaries? Well, when Ryan Madden, my business partner, and I went to begin filming What Is Treason Invaded, about the invasion of the southern border, what began to dominate every aspect of our interviews and our filming was the child sex trafficking.
Sure.
It got so big that when we finally finished filming for 5 months, we came back and looked at our footage and we were shocked that we had enough to do at least three documentaries on child sex trafficking. That's how big this problem is. So we said, okay, what do we do? Do we sit on child sex trafficking and then just, you know, release it in a couple months, or do we just bite the bullet and do it now? It's unconventional. And we said, we can't sit on this. We have to get it out. So we released our first documentary, What Is Treason Trafficked, on September 13th at a film festival in Texas. It has gained incredible traction and is going around the country right now. And then we will come out in literally 23 days. And we will release What Is Treason Invaded, about the southern border invasion. They're tied at the hip, but the child sex trafficking was so enormous, it could not be a part of a documentary. It had to be its own documentary. So we decided, you know what? We're not going to create another website and sell another documentary. We're just going to give it for free. You purchase Invaded, you get Trafficked. And I have had people in entertainment outside of it, and people I've never met before, send me reviews in the hundreds of them, and telling me that it's the greatest documentary they've ever seen, the most impactful, the most unbelievable documentary, because what Ryan Matta did is he created a different format to show a documentary. Okay. And it's powerful. It really is. And I'm proud of it. I'm proud to be a part of it. I hate that I have to talk about this and that I have to be put my name and face on this topic, but no one else is. And what Ryan Matta and I were able to do was to systematically lay out and connect all the dots. So you understand without a shadow of a doubt when you get done watching this, and there is no other explanation except the United States, America, federal government is the world's largest child sex trafficking organization in modern history, period.
I have a lot of Border Patrol people I rub elbows with and DHS that say the exact same thing. This is not an irrational statement on your part. It's conventional. Again, give that website out. We're out of time, but I want to get that one more time.
This is treason.com. This is treason.com.
Okay.
Thank you very much for your time today.
JJ, I tell you, anytime you want to come back on the show, just give me a holler and we'll get you on.
I will. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thanks for your time. Thank you. Okay.